So one of the things about high tech is that when we get more dependent on it, we begin to value sometimes the reliability of low tech. When those digital MP3 files vanish into the cloud, you think about those old, reliable vinyl LPs, safe in the box, indestructible. Well, good luck finding a decent turntable, though. Well, when the internet or a wireless network goes down, the modern wired-up citizen of planet Earth is suddenly on some asteroid of media isolation. Hence, the value of old, low-tech, analog, amateur radio, ham radio. In the internet generation, you might not know this, but ham radio has also grown. It's increased threefold in the last decade. And the different ways of being connected do not compete. They actually enhance each other. Isn't that right, John Pritchard?
That's about correct.
John Pritchard is a ham radio operator. His handle is W6JWK, right?
Well, it's not a handle. That's my radio station's call sign, and I've been doing it for about 35 years.
And handle refers to a CB radio, right? And that's nothing to do with what you guys do in the ham world.
No, that's correct. I think some people still use the handle terminology, or it's sort of gone on a wayside. It's actually my name is and my call sign is.
Now, who do you talk with in the course of a day? And if you're really active as a ham radio operator, what sort of a community can you create online in the radio space?
Well, actually, you could talk. It really depends on the atmospheric conditions. As a matter of fact, I was looking at the DX summit here, and I see Afghanistan, Belarus, European Russia, Poland, Romania, primarily in the eastern countries right now. And in some ways, you think, well, amateur radio is archaic, but you know, we use computers. We have contest. We have slow scan television, internet linking. We can actually link a number of repeaters across the country in some cases. And like in Alaska, they have Trans-Canada linking, where a person from, say, Vancouver can actually be linked to somebody in Nova Scotia.
I love all the technical language in ham radios. I know all the editors on the show are going to start screaming and yelling and throwing things at the control room, but can we get a sense of some of the weird acronyms that you guys use in the ham radio world? You just use DX. What's that mean?
Well, that's distance.
Right.
That's an abbreviation for distance. And let's see, some of the others.
What about CW? What's that, CW?
Continuous wave. It's actually code.
Oh, so that's Morse code?
Yes.
Are people still communicating in Morse code on ham radio?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's your most reliable communications. When you can't hear a person on the radio, you can a lot of times hear them on CW or on code. It's a very, very reliable means of communication. And I'm surprised the military did away with it, but there were times when I was in the military as a radioman that it was impossible to communicate by teletype, but you can sure talk with somebody with CW.
And John Pritchett does. He's a ham radio operator, W6JWK. What's your typical greeting when you get on your transceiver?
Well, good morning. This is John, W6JWK. And let's see, the weather is such and such here. The equipment I'm using is this. And, it's a beautiful day out, et cetera.
And, John, why do you think ham radio interest and participation has grown? It can't be explained by simply being a backup to the internet, right?
No, actually, I think that one of the major reasons for it is, well, there's certainly it's a grayer country, if you will. There are more of us old codgers out there. And secondly, the churches and organizations such as that have realized that in the event of any major tragedy such as 9/11, there are times when you're going to need communicators. You're going to need people that are trained and licensed and able to operate a radio station in order to communicate. For instance, the earthquake in 1989 in the Bay Area, the San Francisco Bay Area, the telephones were literally blocked. You couldn't get dial tone for 30 minutes.
And you went into action? You went into action at W6JWK?
Yeah, I had a handheld transmitter receiver on VHF, and I was able to get information for the employees that I had with me that in order to tell them where or whether there were any problems, say, going south on the highways to get out of Oakland. I was in Oakland at the time. And get a general feel for what was going on around the Bay Area.
Can ham radio be used to connect people up in times of political unrest or say, during the Cold War? Who are the kinds of people that you talk to behind, not enemy lines, but inside countries where you don't necessarily have access to the people?
Actually, it's interesting because amateur radio transcends political ideologies. We spoke with Russian stations and Chinese stations and Cuban stations. For that fact, we still talk to Cuban stations very regularly, and it sort of transcends that. It's a very cordial brotherhood, if you will, around the world, and we're always politics stays out of it. We keep politics out of it. It doesn't have a place in amateur radio.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of that cordiality. Here's a transmission.
This is November 2, Yankee Delta Delta. And we have made a contact previously here from New York to Akashi, Japan with you. I'm in New York City and I'm mobile in the car. Over.
Roger, Roger, Delta. November 2, Yankee Delta Delta. Japan from 33.
Oh, that's wild, John Pritchett. So how has technology improved the ability to have that ham radio experience even in your car, not simply in your weird little radio room, which I suspect you have down in your basement, right, John?
No, actually, it's on the second floor of my house.
Okay.
My opulent studio, if you will.
And how's the technology become more portable?
Actually, with the advent of solid state, it has become, most of the radios have become much smaller. And you can tuck it in alongside the seat of the car or under the dash or whatever and not take up the whole side of the car as it would have been, say, in the 50s or maybe even some of the early 60s.
Which might have been why a lot of women weren't involved in ham radio there in the beginning, but more today?
My wife is a licensed amateur. My stepdaughter is a licensed amateur. And there are a number of ladies in the club that I belong to.
That's great. John Pritchett is a ham radio operator of W6JWK. Can you give me a greeting as you would actually do it, including the description of your equipment?
All right. Good morning, John. This is John, W6JWK, and I'm sitting here in front of my equipment. I have an ICOM 756 Pro 3.
I'm in heaven.
Which is a transceiver. And I have an Ameritron ALS 1300 running 1,200 watts.
A 1300? Ameriless ALS 1300? Dude, that's incredible.
That's brand new. That's a solid-state amplifier that actually is putting out 1,200 watts.
Wow. John, have a great Thanksgiving weekend, won't you?
I'll do that. Thanks for calling me, John.
John Pritchett is a ham radio operator of W6JWK with an ALS Ameriless 1300. I can't even remember that. I'm in heaven right now. Whether it's local or around the world, tell us where you hear The Takeaway. Post your comments at takeaway.org or call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. On this Black Friday shopping day, we're getting reactions from you. Nick writes, I cannot imagine why anyone would want to get up early or stay up after a bank Thanksgiving meal to go shopping. If it was so urgent that it wouldn't keep until 9 a.m., why didn't they buy it on Wednesday? Give us your view at thetakeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry. Celeste is out today. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.